Maybe you'll vomit.
Okay. Okay, I think we're going to go ahead and introduce our speaker. And normally, Larry, you'd speak till 5 till, and if you can end at 1/4 till, and then Larry Schrader will be back, and he'll have some remarks after that, so approximately. So our speaker today is Larry D. Veal, president of BMO Positive, BMP, right, for short. That's right. Larry is a professional comedian and award-winning youth activist. For more than 20 years, he's been using his gifts to inspire and motivate at-risk youth and encourage adults and school systems to emphasize prevention over punishment. His heart is to share who God is with troubled youth and how we and they can all do all things through him who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. At 19, leaving behind the inner-city gangs of his hometown, Indianapolis. I'm a Hoosier. I grew up in Goshen, Indiana. Let's see, where did I get? Oh, yeah, hometown Indianapolis, walking by faith despite having been denied admission 3 times. Larry headed to Payne College in Augusta, Georgia, to convince the administrators otherwise. He had $50 in his pocket and all his belongings in a trash bag and pillowcase. Larry graduated with honors from Payne and was recognized by the college in 2005 as their Alumni of the Year. As their Alumni of the Year, received NAACP's Making a Difference Award, as well as Gwinnett County's 2010 Best Minority Nonprofit Award. He has authored 2 books, A Faith-Based Curriculum, and spearheaded Gwinnett County Public Schools' Community-Based Mentoring Program, a program that will be showcased in the 2019 National Mentoring Conference in Washington, D.C. Larry and I met through Jimmy Rogers, he mentioned, and Eric Ressler is the one who reconnected us and got Larry to come and share his testimony. Please welcome Larry Veal.
Yay!
Yeah. How's everybody doing? I am blessed, thankful, and just happy to be here. I think I did speak here once before, but I'm on such a different level, different plane. I'm just so thankful of what God is doing and has done in my life. So I didn't even prepare anything, but I don't need to because my life is a walking testimony. You know, I can sit up here and just say some things because God has been so good. All right, so I saw, Mr. Hines, how you had it laid out, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and 10 minutes there. Bam, bam.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of. So my first little 5 minutes, general here, I want to say a little something about who I am. I'm a father, first of all. I'm a husband. Been married 26 years. I almost missed it by a couple. Been married 26 years, and I have 4 boys. Now, before I start, let me say this. I tell people all the time, I knew I had the right woman when I met her when I was in my early 20s. I just knew that this was, and you know how I knew she was the right woman? Because she was the right woman because I remember a time I didn't have any money. You know, you're young, you're a kid, you don't have any money. And I told my girl at the time, I said, I will go get something to eat, but I don't have any money. She said, I have $20. I said, well, I don't have any money. She said, no, you have $20 too. She said, if I got $20, you got it. I said, wow. I said, that's the woman I need to marry, right? That is the one. And I tell my wife, even to this day, I said, baby, listen, if me and you ever get a divorce, I want to make sure you know that you're going to get that $20 back. I'm going to make sure you get it back. I promise you. So we've been married 20-something years, now. I have 4 boys. My oldest is Larry Jr. He just graduated, well, a couple years ago from UGA. And he chose UGA over Harvard and a whole bunch of other schools. And so he's a smart kid. I appreciate that. And my other son got accepted to the Naval Academy. And he's doing great. My third son is a sophomore, actually, at Georgia Tech. My material engineering, and then my youngest is in middle school. And I'm saying that to say there was a time when the doctors told me that I couldn't have kids. He told me I could not have kids because I got jumped on when I was in the third grade, got really injured by a bunch of older people. I mean, really injured. And I was not supposed to have kids. But as I began to know more and more about God and accepted Christ in my life, I knew that there was something that somebody could do that man could not do. You understand? And so when the doctor said you can't have kids, I need to take that doctor to my house and visit my four kids who are at home right now. You know, who look just like me, by the way. They're very handsome. Very handsome, if I might say so myself. You know, so if I was going to give a title to this speech, which I'm not, this is a talk, it would be, I know I can't, I know you can't, but guess what? Jesus can. Amen. Jesus can. And that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, that's what I'm going to talk about because that's who I am. Listen, as a young person, I grew up, didn't have a father. My mother had a third grade education. And I have six brothers and sisters. So it was seven of us. My grandmother died, and she was in her 50s, so my mother took on her other sisters and brothers. This is a lady with a third grade education. So we grew up in a rough area, all of us in one little three-bedroom home, okay? And it was rough. I had some challenges a lot, and I ended up joining a gang, and I joined a gang for protection. That's what it was in middle school. It was like protection because I had been jumped on in third grade. I didn't want that to happen again. So I wanted to get to jump on people. And so we went back and forth. I got involved in some things. And there was a time when I knew my life was changing. Even though I was involved in a lot of that stuff, there are two things that I've never to this day did. And that's marijuana and cocaine and stuff like that. Even though they were urging me to do it, in my spirit, it's not like I was a member of a church. I just didn't feel like I wanted to do that. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like it was something better for me, even at that early age. In fact, they used to try to tell me to do it and used to joke with me for not doing it. But because I was a tough guy, you're not going to make me do it. You know, and it didn't make sense to me to do it. I remember us sitting in a garage, in an old garage one day when we had cut school, and the guys were snorting cocaine. Back then they had it in aluminum foil, you know, and they were doing all kind of stuff. They would do all that. And they said, Larry, go on, hit this, man. Go on. I said, why should I hit that? They said, man, shoot, this give you the munchies. I'm like, but I already got the munchies. You know, it didn't make sense to me. You know, they said, man, go on and get high, man. Why? Because they had you tripping. I'm like, I'm already tripping. Y'all see? I mean, so it did not make sense to me. In fact, I remember one time running from the police, all of us. And I'm going to tell you something. When you run from the police, don't really mean you did nothing wrong back in the 70s. If you're a group of guys together in certain areas, somebody may have done, they just chase you. And you get tired of being harassed at the age. So you just run. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So we was running one time, and all the guys was high and stuff. And I'm clear here. I see them, they running. And as they run, they running in a clump together. I'm clear here. I step aside. And I stood on the porch with some old guy watching them run and get chased and get by the police. And I'm like, listen, they only have sense enough to break up. So I said, that's another reason why I'm not going to get high and smoke and do all that. But there was something that happened one day. And when I talk to young people, I tell them this. And I always try to teach in my messages. I tell them that, look, you are better than that. You are I had to realize it the hard way. I remember a time, my first experience of even understanding that I was better than that, and that I wanted to reach for something better. I was 14 years, think about this. Freshman in high school, 14, made all Fs the whole year. One D, and the D was in gym. I can show you my transcript. Yeah. And I just went to gym because that's where the pretty girls with the short dresses, skirts are, okay? Can I be real? Okay? So all Fs and one D. I got suspended 17 times for fighting, well, 16 for fighting, one time for stealing something out of the principal's office. I stole something, the principal took it and put it in his office, and I stole it back out of his office. I remember that. So this type of life I was living. Okay, so one day, this guy from another gang came and moved into our neighborhood. And when he came and moved into our neighborhood, we were like, okay, well, now we know this joker's going to flip. You know, flip means he's going to join us. So we went and met with him, said, listen, man, we know you with them over there, but since y'all moved over here, you know you got to flip. But you know what he said to me? Forget you. Forget y'all. But he didn't say it like that. You know, I ain't going to do nothing. Ain't nothing y'all can do about it. I said, okay. So we met in our garage again, and the guy said, listen, we got to do something. And I knew we had to do something. They said, this is what we're going to do. One of the guys was like, let's shoot up the house. I said, no, because you got the kids there. I saw those little kids there. I saw older people there. I said, I don't want to do that. Another guy said, let's burn down the house. That's dumb, too. No. You know, I'm a nice guy. I said, let's just catch him and beat him up. You know what I mean? I'm a nice guy. So the next day I go to school, and guess what? I don't see any of my friends. I don't see any of my friends, and I'm thinking, I mean, we always cut school, so cutting school was no big deal. But we always did it together. This time I don't see them. Where's Mark, Randy, Richard, Scooney? Where? And I was thinking, I said, oh, Lord. So I hope they ain't go up here and try to shoot up that house. I hope they ain't going to try to burn all that, because I knew they was doing something that they didn't want me to do, be a part of, because they know when I'm adamant about something, I'm adamant about it. I get on the bus going back home, and the house was like this on the corner. It's a street came like this in this way. So the house stood here, and as the bus was coming to the house, before the bus could get to the street where the house was, it was blocked off. Police cars, fire trucks, ambulances, and everything. I remember getting off the bus. I remember getting off the bus, smelling the smoke, hearing the wind blow. I see this house on fire. I'm sad. I'm scared. I'm mad. First of all, I'm mad because they did something I told them not to do. Then I'm scared because I want somebody to die. And then I'm mad because I'm like, I wonder if they go say I had something to do with it. I had nothing to do with it, you know. I had nothing to do with this. So I'm walking towards the house, and as I walk towards the house, I see police cars lined up. Then I come to find out that each one of my friends was in the back seat of one of those police cars. They had them in each separate cars. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a police car, had the door open. My friend was back sitting in the back seat, hand behind his back. The police had his foot up on the door, like on the seat like that. My friend trying to look around so he can get my attention. He's crying because I'm standing out there and I'm watching them get arrested. He said, Larry, they're going to give us 5 to 10 in the IYC. They're going to give us 5 or 10 hours. They said they're going to charge us with arson. He crying. Now, IYC is Indiana Youth Center. If you're familiar with Indianapolis or Indiana, Indiana Youth Center is like a prison, even though it says youth. If y'all know Mike Tyson, when Mike Tyson got locked up and came out in 30-something, Mike Tyson spent all his time in Indiana Youth Center. He came out in his 30s. So we teenagers, we knew that you're going to be there for a minute. So I'm watching them get arrested. I mean, get locked up. I'm watching this house on fire. And I really knew that I was better than that at that time. I said, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't even thought about doing that. I'm better than that. So I go back to school. And I said, Lord, I'm better than that. And I tried to start talking to people. Older people who have been already talking to me about trying to get my life together, say, you know, I do want to get my life together. And I started to learn and read about Christ, trying to understand. And keep in mind, I had no background, no church, nobody telling me nothing. So it's like from scratch, reading the Bible. Okay, so you died on the cross for this. So this is real. You can do all things through Christ. And I'm just reading it, and I'm taking it in. And I start gradually not wanting to do some of the things that I used to do and start spending time. And then next thing I know, I start paying attention to the teachers. The stuff was never hard. It was never difficult. I just, didn't want to do it. And then I got a call one day. I was in the office, and this is one of the pivotal points in my life. I got a call to the principal's office. Now, in my high school, you didn't get calls to the principal's office. You got called to the dean's office. The dean would handle all the discipline. But this time, the principal called me. Here I am, a young black boy, troublemaker. The principal is an older white guy who I never really see except for whatever, assemblies or something. But he called me to his office. And I'm thinking, dang, what happened? You know, what did I do? And I'm thinking, seriously, man, what did I do? Somebody don't lie on me. And he came. I remember he sitting down, and he really didn't look up. He said, you Larry Vils? Yeah. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, so this is your great. And he said, what happened? I said, what do you mean? He said, you had all Fs in 1D last year, and now you almost making an honor roll. He said, I just want to know what happened. And that's the first time I was recognized, because I didn't realize. I mean, nobody's checking my grades. I'm not turning my report card at home or anything. So I'm just living. So he said, He still didn't look up. He said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And I left. Man, I started feeling great, and I wanted to continue to do that and get more and more, do more and more things. And that was the beginning of me really accepting and understanding that this God thing is real. Jesus is real. I want more of it. So I got in a couple of other situations, but I said, you know what, God, I want more of you. And I had a challenge. I started being on the radio. The pastor started putting me on the radio because I would always give testimonies. When they say testimonies, I end up getting on the radio. So people start knowing that Larry Ville, this dude who used to fight all the time, he's going to say, now he's a Christian. And what they wanted to do was try to win me over back to the gang world. And it was a struggle. And this is one of the another pivotal point before I move on to some of the more recent things. One of my friends brought me into a room, and some other guys came out. And when they came out, they looked at me. I didn't know who they were. One of them standing by the door. I'm thinking we're just going to hang out. But they dropped some money in front of me, a whole bunch of money. And they said, count it. I was counting all these thousands and hundreds, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. All this money. This is 84, y'all. This is the year crack became explosive in the black community. This is 84. They put, as God is my witness, $800,000 was in front of me. And they said, you need to be a part of this. And I said, I'm a Christian, you know. I ain't about that. I'm about trying to do better for God. And this is what they call trying to do it right for God. They call it the white man thing. Why are you trying to be like the white man? They said, the white man ain't going to do this for you. N-word. Putting money like that. They said, count it. I said, nah. I'm not trying to do that. They knew I was tough. They knew I would fight. They knew I would, and I just didn't want to do it. And I was, for a minute, I was challenged. And so now, what do I do? What do I do? I end up deciding to leave almost overnight to come down here to Augusta. I'm from Indianapolis. I had known about Payne College from a couple years ago when my pastor took us down there a year or so. And I said, I got to go. I had no money but the Greyhound bus money. And I came here, did not get accepted. I had a 1.9 GPA because still those Fs add up, you know. Them Fs add up. It's hard to get rid of that. So I came to Augusta running from something, but I was running towards something. I said, please, I said, please let me come here. I had $50 in my pocket. I said, I beg you. All of my clothes and everything was in plastic bags and pillowcases because nobody in my house had a suitcase. What we had a suitcase for? So I remember Dean Williams, and a guy, administrator named Mr. Utley. After I begged them and told them where I was, the situation, I said, believe in me, just believe in me. And they did. 5 years later, I graduated with a degree in sociology and criminology from Payne College. With honors. And from that point on, my graduation, I said, God, I want to use my life to help other young people believe in themselves. And I want older people to believe in them, to know that you, that these kids, even though they out here, you may see them thugging out, being drug dealers or gang fighting and stuff like that, they can change if we believe in them. That's why I have the program now, BIGC, Believing in Georgia's Children, which is really believing in God's children. And that's all of us. This is what I just started this year as a result of the Georgia School Senate Committee and the governor and everybody looking for programs to make sure that these kids get help and not come to school with guns trying to destroy other people's lives because they don't understand who they are. We have to help them understand that. That's the only reason why you would want to come and try to hurt other people is because you're hurt. We have to show them through Christ, and only through Christ. Only through Christ. Listen, I told y'all, not what I can do, not what you can do, but it's what Jesus can do. So here it is. Another thing Jesus did for me. In 2005, after traveling all over the country, speaking, doing comedy, and trying to get people to understand and believe in these young people, I came to Gwinnett County, and I was asked to speak at Hebron Baptist Church for their peer leadership conference, the Gwinnett County Peer Leadership Conference, where they brought, it was a middle and high school peer leaders together, and they had me to do the keynote speech, and I shared this story, and after I finished doing the workshop and stuff, a few of the female counselors came to me. They said, come here, Mr. Bill. Let me holler at you for a minute. What they want with me. Listen, there's a lot of kids out here getting kicked out of school for no reason. Well, not for no reason, but they could be helped. So they could be, and if you share your story, if you come to our school and help, then you could prevent a lot of them from getting suspended. Mr. Veal, I said, you know, here I am, a comedian. I've got this other stuff going on. I said, let me think about it, you know. And they said, they got this thing here called Rule 12. Rule 12 is like those real high-risk students who on the verge, it's like they done so many things that if they do one more thing, they're going to get kicked out. Can you come and work with our Rule 12 stuff? I said, you know, I really don't have the time to volunteer. Then I met a young man. And this guy, name was Green. Last name was Green. I'm not going to mention his first name. And he was in my alternative program, anger management program here in Lawrenceville. And he would have all these anger issues. He would take our curriculum, and this is a faith-based curriculum, and it would show you the anger that you have and all this old stuff or what levels you were on. But he had a real high level. So I told the probation officer, he really needs some help. Anyway, one day I came back, and he wasn't there. I said, where is he? She said, you'll know when you read the newspaper. He was on Rule 12, so he had been kicked out of regular school. Come to find out he had murdered somebody. He murdered a lady here in Norcross, 2005. I put everything else I was doing on hold. Forget the comedy. Forget all this other stuff I'm doing. Let me address this issue in our community. So I called one of the counselors at Shiloh who had been pressing me to come. And I told her, I said, listen, I'll come. Let me work with your Rule 12 kids. I don't want to see this happen again. So call me with a name, with the names and a list. I'm thinking she's going to give me 15 names. 10. I'll be there for a period. She called me back with 86 names at one school. So for the next 5 or 6 years, I was at Shiloh Middle School every Monday from the first bell to the last bell, volunteering, working with these young people. But before that, and then I went to Lanier Middle School out here, had 120 high-risk students EBD, what they call it. Then it got to the point where it got so big that the Gwinnett County school system had to acknowledge it. So in 2009, that's when they started. Then they called me and said, okay, Larry, we hear you. Coming together, let's start this mentoring program here. So that's when they hired me to do that. Okay, but 5 years before that, I went to the pastors. I went to the business people because I've been spending all my money, which I didn't have, you know, and I said, I need some help. They said, Larry, you can't come to, this is Gwinnett County. They won't let you come into schools and work with these young people because you don't have a license. You're not a licensed counselor. You're not politically connected. And so you don't have the skills to do that. They told me that in 2005. I told them, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through what? That's right. I said, it's not what I can or you can, but it's what Christ can do. And I walked in that because I believed in it. I seen it too many times. And that was 2005. By 2010, I won Best Minority Nonprofit in the whole Gwinnett County. Not what I can do or what you can do, but it's what God can do. That's what I walk on. That's what I stand on. This is history. The year the Gwinnett County won the Broad Award for Best Urban School District, the first year they won the Broad Award for Best Urban School District in America, look at their executive summary and see, won't you see my name in there for working with 3,000 students at 28 different schools in this county. One person. They only paid me for $300. But every time somebody would call, can you come? I'm like, I didn't know how to say no because I didn't know who's going to be that one. Who's going to be that one child that's going to come to school with a gun and try to destroy everybody? I don't know who's going to be that one. And God, if you make me available to do it, I am going to do it. Amen. Went through a lot. Lost a lot of money. Was quitting. And I'm wrapping up right now. But in your statement, you said, close out by talking about what God has done for you the last year. And that's where I'm at right now. After dabbling back and forth, last year I read that the Georgia Senate School Safety Committee with John Albers and some other people, Senator Albers, they was looking for programs to work with the counselors in the school systems. I said, Lord, is this what you asked me to get back into? So that's why I said, okay, let me put this project together and start going out to the schools, working with young people. And that is what I'm doing right now. And Brad Frost, I don't know if y'all know Brad Frost. Brad Frost. Yeah. He told me, he said, make sure you let them know what I offer to you. And you can use my name. I said, okay, I'll use your name. Thank you. But he said, you know what, Larry? I want to give you a challenge grant of $10,000. If you can match it with $15,000, so that you can keep doing this until at least next May, end of the school year. And at that time, we were presented in front of the governor and the school senate safety committee with the results. And we want to get this across the state of Georgia. And as many hearts and minds as possible. It's all faith-based. And at first I doubted myself. The state of Georgia, 15,000. I'm not a razor person. I'm not a person who asks people for stuff. I say, I can't do it. And I still don't feel like I can do it. But I had to realize not what I could do and not what you could do, but what Jesus can do. And I'm giving out these curriculums right now because I want people to read and see what God has done. This has been, the United States Department of Education said, after reading this, it can make measurable differences. A curriculum that a guy with a 1.9 GPA wrote. I've been hired 10 times by the National Police Athletic League to train their officers and their youth workers. A 1.9 GPA. It's not what I can do. It's not what you can do, but it's what Jesus can do. And I thank y'all for this opportunity to share my story. And I hope it was a blessing to you because it definitely is a blessing to me. If you'd like to find out more, go to bigcusa.com, bigcusa.com. And I also have some literature here as well as my book, Troubled Kids Need Jesus Too, which go into I did this before I got married, and I will tell you I've been married 26 years. So God has been working with me because it's not what I can do, and it's not what you can do, but what? Thank you very much. God bless you.
Many of you know Joe Oreskovich. He passed away July of 2018. I met Larry at a fundraiser with Governor Roy Barnes, and Larry was the keynote, and he had the audience in stitches. And then he turned to a serious side. He has a ministry that few can really I've been blessed. I grew up tough childhood. You know, we didn't have a lot of money and all, but my parents loved me. I had a home. I never was without. Larry is living a ministry that few of us can do because he actually had no one leading to the Lord in his home and his friends. He really came from the streets. And I'm going to tell you, I had a very important closing today, and they had to postpone it because I was not going to miss coming to hear Larry. This is a man worth our dedication. And if you've ever given to a cause for somebody that's come to this microphone, I urge you to consider his ministry because it is really grassroots, and he's the only grass in the yard when he started. Okay?
Larry, I'm a Larry also. We got another Larry in the room. One time we had four or five here, and people would say, Larry, and you turn around like you did when Hines said that a while ago. I think it's so important what you're doing. I want to be sure to get the information. You said that curriculum was available for us to get. I want to help you. I think that in the schools, it's so important that we get them while they're young. Man, if they get too old to listen, which that happens. If you guys are getting old, not you, Jeff, but I'm talking to Hines. As you get older, it becomes more difficult to accept the things that are said to us because we have learned some things. And we may know a very thing that will dispute what we're being told. But I do believe, as Larry said, it's not what he's bringing in, but it's how God has empowered that to really speak to those young people that they'll accept it, because there's so many out there looking for something that will provide that direction. They certainly know that Hines said, hug a Democrat last week. Direction to me. And I've been trying to find somebody that I'm going to try not to get political. But I will say that our representative from Georgia made a statement that I really thought about a lot this week, especially when I was in that traffic a while ago. Man, the time and the calendar will control you. They are things that will control you to the point, and I took it farther than that. He was talking about the impeachment battle, but here I took it farther than that. It really will. When I had my knee replacement back on October 14th, I took my watch off. And I haven't put it back on. Hines, years ago, talked about putting his watch aside. And my wife always said, well, you got your phone, but, man, you got to pull your phone out of your pocket and look at it and drop it. But I find myself often looking at my wrist. And it has made me understand what the representative was saying when the time and calendar will control you. If you focus on that so much that it diverts you and say, I don't have the time, or I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability to raise 15 grand. It's easy for us to get in that thinking. It's easy for us to find the reason why we should not make that effort. Because it's just me. We may find out, as Larry has found out, when he's spoken in these different places, and even with Gary getting up and making the comments here, he's found out that, hey, it's not just me. There are other people. Plus, as he alluded to more than once, it's the strength of the Lord within him. And I had a quote that I wrote down that I wanted to share with you, and I think it ties in very well. If you want to take yourself places you've never been before, you have to think in ways that you've never thought before. And that came from Coach Vince Lombardi. And I'm all about accepting the things, even though I made the statement earlier that we tend to reject after we get so smart. But I'm all about receiving and listening to what's been told. I had a scripture in Matthew 15 where it says, in the first verse, says, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. And Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? And that resonated with me as I read it this morning. So many times the traditions and the way we do things get us so caught up, the clock and the calendar, get us caught up in things that we forget where that direction comes from. And many times it's not consistent with what's in this Bible. And we know what's consistent in the Bible if we are in the Bible. If we're not in the Bible, how do we evaluate that direction? How did the young people know what the basis of our belief is unless we're involved enough to share it with them, Larry, and let them understand that there's power in the words that's in this Bible, and there's application in your life if you look for it. Yogi Berra, I always think about him saying, you can see a lot if you look. And that's what we don't do many times. We're not in the Bible looking for direction. We're not in the Bible to see if those things line up with what we're supposed to be as Christians. There's a scripture in Proverbs 4:23 that says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That really is true. If you really believe in Larry Veal, as Gary does, his actions flowed from his heart because he in his heart really believes what Larry is doing is right on. Your actions will flow from your heart because of what you really believe. When you are in the presence of somebody that is doing opposite of what you know is in the Bible, you'll have such anxiety that you'll have to find a way, and God will provide this, by the way. He'll provide the words to say, let me ask you something. Have you ever thought about this? And you'll be able to share some Bible principle without quoting the chapter and verse. But it will have so much power because the anointing the Lord has given us, if we have believed in Jesus Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit within us to do things that we need to be doing in the world, just as Larry is doing to influence the world for the building of the kingdom. We can be part of that if we want to be. Starts with accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit enables us to, during a time like this, during the Christmas season, to share the love with each other and fellowship with each other. Man, I'm really enjoying this Christmas season as I'm fellowshipping with people and understanding that this is a temporary time that many people do this. But we as Christians need to share that love ongoing. If we got a platform like Larry has, or we got a platform like this luncheon, You don't have to be up at this microphone to share that love. You can do it across the table. As you share what God's doing for you, it really resonates with others and makes them start to look what God's doing for them and counting their blessings. Let's praise the Lord together.
Thanks, Larry. Yes.
We got
a minute.
I'm gonna do it. Our very first Big C group was in Cobb County, and this is what the kids said, and I couldn't show their face, but I wanted you to hear
it. So I'm just asking, and is anybody, how you feel about the group? Do you have any comments? I've got like 2 minutes left. And like I said, it's not to show your face, just tell me how you feel. Anybody got any comments on how you feel about the group so far? Go ahead.
I think the group's pretty cool. Help me express how I feel. It probably explains why I'm such a jerk some of the times.
Okay. Anybody else?
I like this group because I can express myself. I try to fit in with everybody. I was known as a troublemaker because I stole, got kicked out by 5 different schools. And this group's going to help me change and become a better person.
Appreciate that.
And just wanted to let you guys hear exactly.
Did I turn the mic off? No, it's on. Okay. Are we good? Let me close. One of the gals that works with us gave me this little track that's really wonderful, and I'll leave it with anybody that would like it. It's called The Greatest Gift. God, the greatest lover, so loved, the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth the greatest simplicity in him, the greatest person should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference have, the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Let me close with a word of prayer. Alan, you got a quick praise report? Yes. Yeah.
I was encouraged yesterday, I believe it was, when the Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch said, Merry
Christmas. Yeah, yeah. Well, when people say Happy Holiday to me, I say Happy 4th of July to you, too. It's a holiday, right? Good. And remember, we don't meet till January 8th, so you can come here. They're going to be open the 1st and the 25th, but we won't be here, I don't think. Larry might be. Okay, yeah. And consider giving a little extra love gift to our server today. Sophie has been around here for many years, as have many of the other ladies. So let me close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Because you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Jesus. Father, thank you for the men and also during open mic, the women that have shared here the love of Jesus that has transformed their life. And as they minister that love to others, many other lives are changed, as Larry is doing in his walk with you. Father, we thank you for this luncheon, for this amazing gathering of people that come here week after week, and the speakers you bring that really inspire and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord.